We talked about last week how we're going to be starting a new series this week called Soul Survivor, Inner Thriving in a World of Chaos. When we talk about the soul here, we're talking about the mind, the will, emotions. We're not talking about you, the only one left. We're talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions in this. I don't know about you, but sometimes the world seems crazy, doesn't it? Things just seem to be going ballistic sometimes. You know, there's even a country song that talks about it. I accidentally came across the channel one time when I was flipping through. And it says, you know, God is great. People look crazy. And sometimes I think people are crazy. I think I'm crazy sometimes. I think we all have our moments, right, where we feel crazy. But the world is, but you know, in our minds, with so much happening around us in the world, I think people are looking for some kind of a peace in their soul, rest for their emotions and their soul, because there's so much happening in the world today that can bring some confliction. I don't know if that's even a word, conflict, but our society has got a lot of pressure right now going on our emotions and on our soul. Harris Interactive did a survey online of young adults from 8 to 17 and older. And in the last 5 years, 44% reported having higher levels of stress, increased moderate to severe stress from little children right on up to adults. And you know, as well as the American Psychological Association says that many of the causes of this lack of peace, this lack of rest, has to do with money, work, the economy, family responsibilities. How do you know sometimes as parents, it's tough, all the running around we're trying to do to take care of our families. Relationships, personal health concerns are a part of this. Job security, housing cost. These are things that put pressure upon us that does not give us rest. And so how am I going to thrive? How will you inside of you thrive with all these pressures upon you? The number of people that are dying because of suicide in America has gone up 30% in the last two decades. In the last 16 years, from 2000 to 2016, there has been a significant increase in the amount of people that are committing suicide. 21% increase for boys and men. There's a 50% increase for women in the last 16 years. What is going on in our society? I thought we had everything. We've got all the technologies. We've got the most fluent country in the world has ever seen, but yet we don't seem to be, that's not seem to be helping us in how we feel and what's happening inside of us. Right. Something is amiss here. We're the most prosperous nation in the history of the world. But we're not happy. We're not full of joy. We're still looking for something. And people look, and there's really an assault on our souls. There's an assault. The Bible even says that there is an assault. 1 Peter 2 says this, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wages war against the soul." Rages war against the soul. Now, what are people doing to try to alleviate this emotional stress, this emotional stuff? And I think we all can say at some point, if not even now, some of this applies to us. People think if I have more knowledge, if I get more knowledge, I'll feel better. My soul will be at rest. It's interesting now, you can grab a cell phone and you can have a computer with you every moment of every day. And I remember when you had to go to the library and you actually had to look up a card. And then you would have to climb up stacks of stairs and try to get to dusty books that actually had information in it. Now you don't need to do that. You just pull out this little computer, because we got information at our fingertips, but obviously this information has not helped us. It hasn't given us what we need to bring rest to our soul as we educate ourselves. Or if we get the right job, thank God for the right job. But that's not, in and of itself, that's not going to meet everything that you need. More money. There's nothing wrong with money. But then again, if you look to money, we've got more money. People are making more money now than ever, yet there's people who are still miserable. You can be wealthy and miserable and poor and miserable. It doesn't matter, because there's more to this than just what you have in this material world, which is fleeting. Or if you have the right relationship, if I can just get that right man, or get that right girl, or if I could just get the husband that I need and I deserve, or if that woman would just do what I want her to do, she would just respect me like I deserve. Most of the time, if you're that attitude, you don't deserve to be respected. But anyway, we'll move on. We'll move on from there, because I'm starting to feel convicted up here myself and starting to sweat. Kathy, you need to leave the room. Anyway, but everything's going to put our soul at rest. So how do I inwardly thrive in a world of chaos? You know, we're not the only ones in history who've ever experienced this before. We're not the only ones. Somehow we sort of forget about everything else that's happened because we're so focused on us and how we feel and how we going through this. You know, David in the Bible, if you ever want to read through David, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, David, the King David, who said his heart was after God, a man whose heart was after God, who loved God, went through some stuff that really parallels exactly what we go through, and sometimes more intense, some of the stuff that he went through. If I don't know if you remember this, but by the time he was a young man, Saul, the other king, was trying to kill him, chasing him in the desert. He was living in caves because his life, he threw a spear at him and tried to kill him in there just because he was playing some music, and he just picked up a spear and he was going to try to kill him. So he had to run for his life. He was underappreciated. He was disrespected, treated unjustly. Can we all say amen? We've all felt that before. You know, he wants to go kill Goliath because his faith is in God, and all his brothers make fun of him. He was passed over to be the king because he thought, well, he's out there with the sheep. You know, let's talk about all these other brothers. So he was disrespected, unappreciated. He had anxiety about his family. His own son, Absalom, tried to overthrow him. His own son tried to stab him in the back. Family betrayal took place. The man went through some stuff, y'all. He had a political. Let me back up here. He had anxiety in his marriage. He's out dancing before God, worshiping God. And it says here, Micah despised him in her heart. Her heart wasn't right. She despised him for doing that. I tell you what, it's got to be tough to live in a marriage where your wife despises you. Now, the situation in this was her heart wasn't right. But I tell you what, guys, we don't want our wives' hearts who are right to be despising us either. That's a tough place to be. So you maybe need to have some conversations on that one. I'm probably going to avoid that conversation as long as I can. But we need to realize how important our marriage are. So he went through it. Mike was out there despising him. There was political upheaval when Saul was trying to kill him. There was political upheaval. There was distress on every level. Absalom, like as I mentioned, was trying to overthrow him, his own son. There was economic disruption due to war. All the men that came to David when he was running from Saul were, it says they were distressed, they were in debt, and they were discontented. How many of us have ever, don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have ever been distressed, in debt, or still are, or discontented? That's what's happening right now. We live in a discontented society that everything you see on TV is telling you how discontented you are and how you need to buy this and you need to buy that and you need to get the latest iPhone or the latest Android. And I need a new phone, but that's beside the point. But there's things out there saying, gotta be, you're discontented. There's also anxiety about his own sin. Bathsheba, he went and took another man's wife and had him killed, basically. Plotted against him. There was anxiety inside of him. And it said that his body wasted away, he said, in his sin. He had bouts of fear. He had bouts of depression. He had bouts of anxiety. If you look in the Psalms, he's always talking about his soul. He's talking about stuff that he's going through, and he's crying out to God. He was a great leader. If it happens to him, it'll happen to us. A great leader as he was. So how did David deal with the chaos of his world? So I think as I've made the point here, his world is not much better than our world. Sometimes maybe worse than some of the things that he went through during his time of wars and pestilence and everything that he had. So how did he deal with it? And here, let me read this verse to you. This is Psalm 103. This is where we're going to begin the series as an introduction into where we're headed over the next few weeks about how to have inward thriving in the midst of chaos. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Now there's two words in this passage that I want to highlight. He said, bless. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul," twice in a row, in two verses. When you say bless, that means you praise God. David was saying, I don't care what's happening in my life. Things are tough, but I'm still going to make myself praise the Lord. I'm still going to make my soul, my mind, my will, emotions, I'm going to make myself praise God no matter what's happening in my life. No matter what's going on, I'm going to make myself praise God. I've had moments in life I'm wondering how I'm going to praise God. You know, hot water heater just went out in your house. I come back from vacation and my hot water heater was out. That's a great blessing when you come home from vacation. You already spent all this money. Now, the vacation, and your hot water heater goes out. Or you have a sickness that's come upon you. Now, see, that's the serious stuff. We can deal with material stuff. There's a sickness that's come upon you and you're having a battle. There's stuff that's happening all around you. And you're wondering, how am I going to make it? Lord, what was that all about? You ever had those days like, what was that all about? I've had those days too, those moments in life. But he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Keep in mind, we've seen what he's going through already. He's going through all this stuff. And due to his relationship with God, he says, bless the Lord anyway. Bless the Lord anyway. And the second one I want to talk about here is soul. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And it is your mind, your will, and your emotions. But I find something interesting about it. It's called, this Hebrew word here is nefesh. But it includes your soul, your living being, your life, yourself, your person, your desires, your appetite, your emotions, your passion. The New Testament also has a word for it as well. And it's basically your mind and your will and your emotions. It's used 144 times in the book of Psalms, just to let you know how much David was relying upon his God. So the question always comes, how do we thrive inwardly in a world of chaos? First off, some few things have to happen in order for anybody to praise God in the midst of trouble. Number one thing that has to happen, there has to be an eternal and internal shift inside of a person. Eternal meaning that you have to let God come into your life and change you. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. In order for you to be able to have this soul, to have a thriving soul in the midst of everything that's going on, the number one thing is you got to start looking at life in an eternal perspective. What you see right here isn't everything. There's more beyond this than what, there's more than just this here and now, this material world. And Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross and he rose from the dead so that we can be forgiven of our sins. He wants us to repent and give our lives to him. And when we repent of our sins and turn away from them and commit our lives to Christ, there becomes an eternal change takes place within you where you're not just thinking about the here and now, but there's a perspective you can have for eternity. That one day, if you're saved, you're going to go be with Jesus in heaven. That one day, Jesus is coming back to the earth. It becomes more about than just what we see here in this material world. There's an eternal change in perspective. And when you have an eternal change in perspective, that's why when things are struggling around you, when life is difficult, you can go, wow, all right, I can bless the Lord, oh my soul. I can thrive in the midst of chaos because I know there's an eternal plan that God has. And then there's an eternal change inside of you where you are born again. God changes you, turns you into another person. There's an eternal shift that has to take place. There's an eternal shift, eternal. And there's an inward shift that takes place. You know, people are trying to find eternity. Is there really anything after this life? I was watching a TV show the other day. And here they were trying to find, and they've had other shows like this before. I thought it was interesting. They were having, is there anything beyond us? Is there eternity out there? Is there a spiritual world beyond what we see? Is there life after death is what they were asking. So they went and they interviewed some folks that had near-death experiences, and they were talking about this intimate peace that they came into in their soul, and they really had something significant happen. And so that was one thing they did. I didn't watch the whole show, but anyway, I watched a little few minutes of it. Then they went to another spot, and they were going to psychic readers to talk to somebody from the dead. And I thought that was rather interesting. And all I can say is I could have guessed what was happening with those people's lives as well as he did. That's all I can say. This one lady, she had died, and her sister had died and passed away, and he says stuff like, I know you were mad about that, wasn't you? And she starts crying. Well, yeah, I'm sure she was mad about that, you know. And then one of the daughters stood up, and she was a young person. He goes, I just sense that you're just getting started in your career, and she wants you to know that she's with you as you're starting your career, and you're starting to find your dreams. She starts crying and weeping. She had just graduated from college. I could have guessed that. Is what I'm trying to say. But there's this hunger for trying to find some rest for your soul, some peace for your soul. He turned to the guy who was the main host and said, there's been a death in your family. He started to tear up. I'm like, well, everybody has a death in their family. But what that showed me was that this need for the soul to be touched, for something beyond what we are because we're so needing something. So there has to be an eternal and an internal shift within us. There has to be a number two is there has to be a realignment of priorities. As Mark 12 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. There has to be a realignment. It said, material things are good. There's nothing wrong with them. But if they are what you're trying to find rest for your soul, if you're trying to find your reason for living through these material things, you're always going to come up short. And when chaos comes, and it's going to come, everybody's life is going to have those moments of chaos. Everybody. I'm not trying to speak negative, but I'm just telling you the reality of life. You're going to have that's going to happen. You got to find where's my source from at that moment. And you can't go to your cell phone to be your source. You can't go to the TV to be your source. There's got to be something inside of you. So there has to be a realignment of your priorities. So as you give your life to Christ and he comes to live inside of you, then you have the ultimate one who's in sovereign and in control of this world. He's involved in your life. So there has to be a realignment of your soul. For in order for your soul to thrive and your emotions to thrive, Jesus has to be the center of your life. He has to be the center of where you're going. People have tried other things. But I found that even in my own life, Jesus really is the answer. He really is. And number three, God's faithfulness. The first two was pretty much us realigning ourselves. The third one is just God's faithfulness to us. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. There are certain benefits that come with being in Jesus. Obviously your salvation, because you can come into a relationship with him. But there are other benefits, and we're going to talk more about this in the coming weeks. There are benefits, not like I'm just coming to God because I want to get something from God, But as a child of God, there are certain things that God wants to do for us and help us so that we can thrive in a midst of chaos. You know, when you're sitting beside somebody in the hospital and they're struggling, I've had a chance to pray with a couple of people right before their death. And at that moment, eternity is facing you in the face. It's right there, eternity. And I want to make sure that somebody's internally has made the realignment they need to make in order to face eternity when it comes, because everybody's going to face it. But God is faithful. And what I'm telling you today is I'm not promising you a perfect life of ease. I'm just telling you that no matter what happens, the Lord is near and kind. I have a quote up here from a pastor I was listening to this past week. If you put that up there. It said, the good news is regardless of what comes, Jesus will be there and you will find him to be enough. That in Jesus, he will be enough. I've seen it in my own life when tragedy struck. The only person that could touch me at that moment was Jesus. Nobody could say anything to me. Nobody could pat me on the back enough. Nobody could hug me enough. Only through Jesus could I make it through tragedy. Only through Jesus could my soul survive that. It's because of Jesus. And I know I'm being subjective. I can't explain how he does it. I just know that he does it. If you'll commit your life to him. Internal thriving, soul health, is not based on circumstances, but what is essential. That is the person of Jesus. That's how you thrive in a world that's full of chaos. I'll read one more passage to you. I pray in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. That's what Jesus wants us to do, to let our soul prosper. Amen. That's all I got for you today as we start out this series. Let me pray. And we're going to baptize a few people who are making a big commitment this morning. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your hand upon us. We love you this morning. I ask for each person today, Lord Jesus, if they're struggling, if their life is chaotic right now, if their life is full of pressure, if they're having to deal with so many issues that are scaring them, putting pressure upon them, I pray in Jesus' name that you would come and you would be their strength in a time of need. We trust you for it. I thank you, Lord. Bless the congregation this morning. Have your way in each of our lives this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn this over to Blake. Now, this is going to be an exciting moment, so let's get excited for the folks that are going to get this morning, all right?
This morning, that baptism is a proclamation. What makes Christianity unique, and we can lump Christianity into it, maybe the religious category, but what makes Christianity unique is this, is that our faith is in a historic event, the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so when someone gets baptized, they're saying, when Jesus died, he died for me. When he was buried, I was buried with him. And when he rose from the dead, I rise in newness of life and will rise again for all of eternity. And so it is a public proclamation of an internal transformation. And so when someone gets baptized, they're identifying this and yes, Jesus died my death. And that's the good news. The good news of Jesus is that Jesus dies our death. And he raises again to give us hope and new life. And so these individuals who are getting baptized this morning, let's join with them as they're getting baptized. Remember your own salvation. I was a dead sinner bound under the wrath of God, and Jesus delivered me, right? And so let's rejoice with each other this morning. So who's going to be first with us today? This is Madison.